Jim, I almost hate to mention this, but we are going to talk about faithfulness for our entire time tonight. And we are not going to get into gentleness. I felt like we didn't want to cut gentleness short. And so my original plan was to do half faithfulness and half gentleness tonight. But I thought we would just go back through faithfulness because of the debacle of last week with hack attack, as Daryl called it just a few minutes ago. So we're going to go through faithfulness again tonight, and then we'll pick up with gentleness next week, and then finally we'll hit the last lesson in fruit of the Spirit. We'll talk about self-control. In our world today, I think it's fair to say that we have a dependability problem. In other words, oftentimes, one's yes doesn't mean yes, or their no, no. And so that makes us very skeptical or certainly curious about different messages that we get, right? We see commercials, eat this food and you'll lose 20 pounds, do this exercise and you'll build muscles overnight, use this product and you'll instantly have clearer skin, better hair, you'll be taller, shorter, whatever the case may be. We think, really? Is that going to happen? Really? Is that true? This dependability problem also comes from the brokenness of our world. So just in the last couple weeks, one of the most famous present time news anchors has gotten busted for essentially making up stories or telling stories and sort of exaggerating maybe his involvement in those stories. All kinds of things are being uncovered about that. And so we start to question, who really can we trust? Is our yes, yes? Is their yes, yes? So for several years, I worked in young adults ministry, and that was an incredible experience, and I'm so thankful for that time. But one thing that I'm finding from my generation and younger is there is a dependability issue. And so we talk about a retreat coming up or a mission trip and or some sort of activity that we were going to do as a group, and someone would say, yeah, I'll be there. Sounds great. And then it'd be the day of the event. Where are they? We'll find out that perhaps one of their friends didn't want to go, and so they thought, well, if that person's not going to go, then I don't want to go either. Something like that would come up, and it would happen over and over again. And so there was a dependability issue going on there. One thing we said last week about the faithfulness that we find in the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is that what Paul is referring to more in that passage has to do with trustworthiness or dependability as opposed to some sort of belief without seeing. Now, there may be some of that in the passage. There may be a linkage between the two, but it seems like what he's talking about more is, in Jesus' words, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Part of the reason we say that is because if you look at the other fruit of the Spirit, they have sort of an ethical dimension to them. It's about a way of life, characteristics of a person that's a follower of Christ. And that seems to be what we see with faithfulness as well. And so the big idea of faithfulness is one shows faithfulness to God and others through keeping their word or their pledge. And last week we looked at several different passages to see that God himself is a faithful God. We're going to look at these passages again this evening for just a little bit. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. So for many of us here tonight, this is a review. I get that, but that's okay. And remember in high school or middle school, we do review all the time, work math problems over and over again. So we're doing a little bit of review here for just a little bit. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. So as far as our reconciliation to God, we understand that God is faithful to His Word. He will forgive His children who have confessed their sins. What we said last week is you can take that to the bank. It's true. It's right. Every single time, God is going to forgive His people based on the cross and resurrection of His Son. If God says He's going to do that, we can take that to the bank. There are a passage like 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So God is faithful to His children in that He is not going to let them drown in temptation. This is the promise of God's strength and presence for those who are faithful to Him. And you can take that promise to the bank. God, through the Holy Spirit, will help. He will somehow allow a way out of that trouble or that temptation. And then Psalm 86 in verse 11. We'll discuss this one a little bit more. Psalm 86 in verse 11. And if you were to take the time to read this 86th Psalm, it's all about God's faithfulness. Over and over again in that Psalm, the psalmist praises God for God's keeping His Word, His faithfulness to His people. It says there, this is verse 11, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." So the psalmist asks for God's teaching so that he can rely on His faithfulness. So what's it mean to rely on God's faithfulness? I think it means to find one's hope, salvation, source of life from God alone. For the Jews who would have prayed this prayer or sang this psalm, for them it would have been through Torah observance, through following through with the practices that they found in the Mosaic law. So the psalmist says, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness, your word." The psalmist can take it to the bank. And then he says, "Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." I love this idea of having an undivided heart. To have an undivided heart is to be committed to one thing. Some kind of common vernacular for this would be, don't straddle the fence, right? Don't be pulled this direction and that direction, but be focused on one thing and one thing alone. There was this philosopher and theologian. His name is Soren Kierkegaard, and he lived in the 1800s, and he has a poem that gets at this idea of having an undivided heart. So listen to the words of Soren Kierkegaard. "Father in heaven, what are we without you? What is all that we know, vast accumulation, though it be, but a chipped fragment if we do not know you? What is all our striving? Could it ever encompass a world but a half-finished work if we do not know you? You, the one who is one thing and who is all. So may you give to the intellect wisdom to comprehend that one thing, to the heart sincerity to receive this and this only, to the will purity that wills only one thing. In prosperity, may you grant perseverance to will one thing. Amid distraction, collectedness to will one thing. In suffering, patience to will one thing. You that gives both the beginning and the completion, may you early, at the dawn of the day, give to the young the resolution to will one thing. As the day wanes, may you give to the old a renewed remembrance of that first resolution, to that the first may be like the last, and the last like the first, to possession of a life that has willed only one thing, to know God." And those beautiful words from Soren Kierkegaard, what he's talking about is willing one thing is an undivided heart, a faithful life, a life that is given completely to the purposes of God. as he comes to that, the conclusion of the poem, he says that one thing is to simply know God. Let's kind of use a marriage example here. You think about your spouse. For those of you here who are married, you wouldn't want your spouse, when it comes to affection for a person of the opposite sex, you wouldn't want your spouse to have a divided heart, right? To sort of like you and sort of like someone else, right? Or to enjoy hanging out with someone of the opposite sex more than you, or going to a movie, or spending time together, going on dates. No, you want your spouse, when it comes to who they enjoy spending time with the most, you want them to have a heart that is very much undivided. You want them to love one person. In the same way, the psalmist said, Lord, give me an undivided heart. Give me a heart that is completely given over to you, a faithful heart. We think about it in marriage terms again. If one is not faithful to God, the imagery that's used so often in the Old Testament is that that person, whether they're given to idolatry or whatever the case may be, that person is unfaithful in marital type of terms. That person is committing adultery. That person is given over to someone else other than who they were supposed to be given to. And so there's no room for straddling the fence here, as what the psalmist is saying. Give me an undivided heart. Of course, one of the byproducts, a symptom of a divided heart, is fickleness. Am I going to go with them or with them? Am I going to send that card or not? Should I attend worship or should I not? Do I believe in this or do I believe in that? Should I tell my coworker about Jesus or should I not? And so we straddle the fence, and what ends up happening is we just get crashed around back and forth. We are not at that point willing one thing. We're straddling the fence. And so in our lives, signs of faithfulness, as we've already said, the faithfulness that Paul is getting at here seems to be dependability, trustworthiness, is at least to God. We'll start this way and kind of move through different relationships. But with God, faithfulness to God is continuing to do things like attending worship, continuing to pray, continuing to share Jesus, to continue to live the kind of life that he would call us to live. That's faithfulness to God. In our marriage, it's to stick out that commitment that we've made, no matter how difficult it gets, through thick or thin. We made a vow and we're going to stick with it. That's faithfulness to God and your spouse. And so are you willing to stick it out? Parents to your children, you can be faithful to your children. In other words, you can be dependable to them. No matter what happens, I love my child and I am responsible in one way or another for seeing that the child comes to know Jesus, makes good decisions, all of that. A parent can't just say, I'm done. Not worth it. I'm not feeling that with Adeline yet, but you can't do that. Right? That's not faithful. You can't do that. You are no longer dependable as a parent if you do that. Or with friends, I'm going to stick it out. Church family. In one way, we're connected. We're brothers and sisters. We have a responsibility toward one another. We need to be faithful to each other. We have all of us in the baptistry made a commitment not only to God, but we made a commitment to the body of Christ. We're faithful to one another. And of course, the opposite of faithfulness with God. I wasn't expecting this hardship. He didn't answer the prayer the way that I wanted him to. Gone. Done. In marriage, I can't believe this happened. How did you do this to me? Done. Or with family, the kid disappoints us. Peace, I'm out. Friends, done. People disappoint us, we're done. Now, we have to use wisdom in all of this. I understand that. But the point is that we're called to be dependable. That means that we have a level of willingness to stick to our commitments. We've made commitments to God and we've made commitments to one another. In marriage, we made a commitment to our spouse. When we had a baby, we made a commitment to that child. I think of two people, Goldie and Cindy Durham, when I think about faithfulness. They were some of my Bible class teachers growing up. Sunday after Sunday, and they're probably still doing it even today. Sunday after Sunday, they would teach the cradle roll or the three-year-old class or the four-year-old class. And you could take it to the bank. On a Sunday morning, they were going to be there, graham crackers and all, teaching kids about Jesus. I'm thankful for people like Goldie and Cindy, who are dedicated, committed to God, faithful to God, faithful to teaching His Word week after week. And we know it's true. Life isn't always mountaintop experiences, right? That would be great if life was always great. We always felt the spiritual high. I don't know how many of you went to church camp. It'd be awesome if you always had that church camp experience or that mission trip experiences. But we know the truth of the matter is life is hard at times. And I think that's where faithfulness really earns stripes, right? It's the one foot in front of the other committed to God. That's faithfulness. It's the valley time. There's a poem that I love. I'm not going to read two poems in one sermon. That would be a poem overkill. But in the valleys, it's in the valleys that I grow is the name of the poem. You can Google that. The idea is that is the place where God does so much of His work on people's hearts, showing Himself to be faithful to His people, even in difficult moments. One foot in front of the other, showing care, continuing to mature, continuing to show love. That's faithfulness. So Jesus says this in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. We're going to close with this. We've got this this interchange that we're going to look at here. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." I'm going to read that again, verse 62. "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." So when it comes to our relationship with God, there's this temptation to look back. Jesus is talking about the cost of discipleship, and of course He's using their own cultural situations to help teach about the level of commitment that His disciples were expected to have. Now, I don't know much about farming, but I get what Jesus is saying here. It's hard to plow in a proper way when you're looking back. Maybe a mule or a donkey would be pulling this plow, and if you start looking back, you'll start going sideways. You won't be very efficient, at least in your plowing for that day. So Jesus says, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." It's about looking forward. It's about staying committed and faithful to God based on the confession that we all have made. He also says these kind of things that are kind of shocking. "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, this is verse 60, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." I think what Jesus is saying there, again, there's some cultural stuff going on there. I get that. But let's not miss the message there. Jesus is calling for a heart that wills one thing, to follow Him, to have a heart that is undivided, that is 100% given over to God. That's faithfulness. We demonstrate it in our relationship with God, and we would just demonstrate it in our relationships with others. But remember, in all of this, this is a fruit of the Spirit. This happens through God's work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit as we mature into the kind of people that He's called us to be. All right, that's all for our lesson on this. Like I said, we're going to jump into gentleness next week. Sorry about that, Jim. So you can hold all those songs for next week if you want to. So they're great, great songs, but I kind of missed the theme. I apologize for that. I should have communicated that. So if there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly, or if anybody here tonight is ready to put on the Lord in baptism, whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.